Rate, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. This is Spin Rate, the Athletics Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice. Thank you so much for checking us out, for dialing us up here. If you are on the app or if you are on the podcast collector of your choice, it is our pleasure to be here with you talking about your Toronto Blue Jays. I mentioned the app. If you go to theathletic.com/spinrate, you can subscribe to The Athletic. You can read everything that our co-host here on Spin Rate, Caitlin McGrath, writes about your Toronto Blue Jays. You can read everything that Lindsay Adler's wrote, a great piece on spunk or whatever, gunk, spit, sticky stuff on the ball. Great primer with a Yankees perspective, because Gerrit Cole kind of stepped in it a little bit this week on a Zoom call. Really a topic du jour, something that we spoke about with the Athletics, you know, Saris in the offseason, and it's really coming to a head here in June. So if you want to subscribe to The Athletic, you can do that. If you subscribe to The Athletic and you listen to the podcast through there, and free, BTW. But the most important thing about going to theathletic.com/spinrate is you let them know that we sent you, which keeps us in business. We also will be in business if you go and subscribe to the show as well. Subscribe on your podcast catcher of choice if you want to get it for free. You don't have to subscribe to The Athletic. You can get it on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, all those places. You get the ads in there too, but that's all right. We got to keep the lights on. You know what I mean? So subscribe to the show, subscribe to The Athletic. You're good to go. Blue Jays currently here at the time of our speaking are in Chicago, facing off against a pretty good White Sox team. A very good and very Cuban White Sox team. There are a lot of Cuban guys on that team, which is pretty awesome. White Sox are good. They're talented. They kind of taught the Blue Jays a little bit of a lesson in depth in the series opener on Tuesday night. But here we are Wednesday, Alek Manoah on the hill. Always exciting to watch that very big man shove. But if we're talking about stuff on the ball, we're talking about performance, we're talking about big giant pitchers, there's nobody better to talk to than this week's guest, and that is Dr. Mike Son. You know him from ProPlay AI, you know him as the chief scientist at 3Motion AI. He's got a whole laundry list of things that he does, science of the game, but also more than anything, Mike's a fan. He loves the game, big Blue Jays fan, loves good music, great guy to talk to. We talked to him before on the old show, on Birds All Day. Talk to him here for the first time on Spin Rate. Very topical. Because if anybody knows about how to get that extra spin, it's the guy who is a doctor and B, an expert in biomechanics, biometrics, motion capture, all the things that are being used today to optimize performance and make pitchers as good as they can be, which I think is, we had a great chat. So I encourage you to listen to that chat. So why don't you go and do that right now on this edition of Spin Rate. All right, as mentioned before, it is my pleasure at this time to be joined. You know him from Twitter, you know him from the amazing work he does off the field. He is the chief scientist at 3Motion AI, Dr. Mike Son. Dr. Mike Son, how are you?
I'm doing great, Drew. I'm not sure if you noticed, but the title that I proudly earned the last time we talked is still in my Twitter bio. I am a true menace.
You were a menace. The last time we spoke on the old show, one of the worst experiences of my young life. No, it was terrific, and I'm so excited to have you back. There is a lot to talk about, I think. This is a very interesting time for people who, A, watch baseball and enjoy baseball, but also, I think, people who do what you do. So before we do that, if you haven't heard the previous episode, you can go back. It was, of course, under the old name. But it's all in the same feed now. We spoke on Birds All Day, but now here we are, of course, on Spin Rate. Speaking of Spin Rate, very topical. But why don't you tell a little bit, give a little bit of background just about what you do, but what 3Motion AI and some of the other the work that you do in terms of the pitch AI and all the sort of motion capture stuff. So if someone doesn't know, I want you to just give me a little bit of like an elevator pitch on what it is that you do to make baseball or pitchers better.
So over the last 5 years, I'd even say over the last decade, you know, how many of us have broken into analytics by looking at the PitchFX databases? And that was all measuring how balls moved, the velocity associated with them, being able to quantify how pitches moved and how pitchers become successful as a result of that. The new era of kind of analytics is more on the person side, the player side. There's a Hawkeye system in there now that's doing three-dimensional tracking with, like, I think 16 cameras in stadiums. At Three Motion AI, we're trying to do the same thing, but just from your cell phone. So being able to capture the 3D position of a pitcher and quantify things like, you know, how much rotation does their arm have? How fast does their trunk move? How far do they stride? With an idea that we can help pitchers become more efficient, become less injured, and you know, be able to have long careers that are very, very successful.
So with this kind of information, is that the sort of thing that a pitcher could take and be like, okay, I need to improve my flexibility, or I need to improve my lower half, you know, butt strength, you know, in terms of like core or butt or whatever, like to really make sure that I'm driving down the mound to get that flexion to really, you know, maximize my extension and all the things that you measure?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a big one that a lot of pitchers look for is their hip to shoulder separation. So how much do they disconnect their upper half from their lower half and then kind of use their body as an elastic band and really get that energy transferred from the mound up to their arm and then throw harder. So little things like that are a big way that pitchers are kind of tweaking their deliveries using our technology. But another big one is to kind of track how they move over time and see if they're showing signs of fatiguing, maybe showing signs of injury ahead of actually, you know, sustaining an injury. So that's a big part of what we're doing and making it so that they can record their motion, whether they're in a bullpen, they're, you know, doing long toss, they're in the game, really anywhere that they throw.
It's interesting because it is at its core, especially when you describe like that separation, the upper half and lower half separation, it's an idea I think that's as old as the game itself. You can look up pictures of Nolan Ryan, of Roy Halladay, of guys that would predate them as well. And you'll see, you know, in the right frame, just that separation, that front foot is down and they're rotating around it. And you know, obviously I think more recent examples are an extreme example, someone like Tim Lincecum or Pedro Martinez, not the biggest guys, but they get that extension. They create that separation. And then next thing you know, this little, you know, Hesher surfer bro is throwing 97 and he's the two-time Cy Young Award winner. It's so interesting because it's a modern understanding of like the long held principles of the game in a way.
Which is, I think, what we see with most analytics, right? It's measuring things and it's putting a number to something that's been long understood. Something that's really been kind of coached over the years through anecdotes or beliefs. A lot of the times what these coaches say over all the years, there's a lot of truth in it. So it's not really this old school versus new school and somebody trying to measure things. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to take a coach's job or replace scouts with cameras. We're just trying to put numbers on the things that people have been describing for years.
So let's come back to this, because I know we can talk about, you know, Nate Pearson is someone that you work with a lot, and we can talk about Alek Manoah, who here on Wednesday night when we're recording will be on the hill for the Blue Jays. But let's talk about the kind of topic of the day in the game of baseball right now, which is supplementing, let's say, some may say enhancing, the natural abilities or the maxed out abilities to become better pitchers. I know so obviously the spider tack and some of the sticky substances that are allowing pitchers to maybe connect with the ball for that extra split second to exert that extra bit of force. You know, this doesn't necessarily touch your work, but I know it's something that you're spending time with and try and understanding and hopefully having to have these conversations with athletes as they're trying to find out like what are my natural physical limits and how can I enhance them. What do you feel about this whole spider tack and super sticky stuff topic that's going around the game?
It's funny because everything that happens in baseball that gets deemed to be illegal is a direct response to something else, right? And you remember during the great few years there, 2015, 2016, when there was reported changes to the ball and there were more home runs being hit than ever before. But during that time, there was also a real spike in the number of blisters that pitchers were reporting. And the Blue Jays saw a ton of that with Aaron Sanchez.
And Stroman too. Sorry, I interrupted
you. And Stroman as well. No, you're totally right.
They were both like, the ball is different. Like, it's not even a question. Like, the ball is different. Yeah,
exactly. And with those guys, you know, both of them being guys that really could, you know, quote unquote, spin the ball. I think Sanchez had the highest spin rate. There's the show name in there. It's the Leonardo DiCaprio meme there. You know, he had the highest spin rate on his curveball in the entire league. And Stroman did so much cutting of the ball and his two-seamer and all that stuff. Like, he really did rely on spin and direction. When they lowered the seams on the baseball, and, you know, Justin Verlander was one of the guys that reported this too. Like, when they lowered those seams, what they basically had to do was almost dig into the ball a lot more to try and produce the same results. So they're gripping the ball a little bit harder. They're applying more pressure in certain areas. And then we saw that spike in blisters. And as a result, you know, there were different injuries. There was just different guys losing jobs. There was performance drop-offs. So I think they started digging into the well-known bag of tricks for pitchers and finding ways to increase that spin rate, which they knew was a huge advantage, and to kind of counter all these home runs being hit and the disadvantages that they saw with the change in ball. So as a result, I think we've kind of ended up here with this new wave of guys really doctoring the ball, getting unnatural spin rates and making the lives hell for some of these hitters.
We'll be right back with more spin rate, but first, check this out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
The word that Josh Donaldson, former Blue Jay Josh Donaldson, used when he was asked directly about it, about Gerrit Cole, he said this is a performance enhancement. Do you see it that way? Is this, I mean, you know, the difference between, you know, what you do with pitchers, and again, we're talking about trying to help them physically develop and physically optimize what it is they can do, which doesn't feel like cheating. Maybe compared to someone who was just, you know, in the old days, was kind of like got on the bus off the farm and then showed up in Clearwater or whatever, ready for spring training. It might feel like cheating, but do you feel like this is a true performance enhancement, or is this just sort of like the kind of ebb and flow of the game?
I lead towards it being more the ebb and flow of the game. And I think some of the interesting quotes, and I think Bauer mentioned something about this, like, if you get rid of the sticky stuff, you're not going to see a resurgence in offense, you're going to see a resurgence in tons of hit batters. You know, you're not going to improve this pace of play issue. You're going to have a lot more walks and a lot more wild pitches. It's not going to have what we intended as the effect of this. And, you know, all of a sudden you're going to see more singles and doubles and a lot more balls in play. It is going to be a lack of control. And I do truly believe, like, it is a performance enhancer in the way that it's helping these pitchers gain control, but it's not giving them extra miles per hour on their fastball, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not all of a sudden giving the guy the ability to, you know, throw 100, whereas last year he was at 91. So it's not in that same vein as the guys that were, you know, going crazy in the steroid era, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's really such a fine line, because, I mean, I think about, what's his name, the Yankees, Lucas Litke, who is kind of like that Marco Estrada style. He throws that invisible. So it's like he throws 90 or 91, but it's got that high spin and it's up in the zone and it looks like his changeup and you can't pick it up. So maybe the extra spin might help that guy even more than a couple extra miles per hour. So, but the other thing that I come back to, and I don't know what you feel about this, but while there's so much emphasis on trying to kind of get the ball in play more, but hitters are so good and so strong, and they have all the same sort of advantages in terms of piecing their swing together and making sure that they're getting their bat and their hands and that getting the separation between their shoulders and their hips, such that if you tip the scales back the other way, every game feels like it's going to be 14 to 11 because every guy in the lineup can hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Exactly. So I think this is just another part of the whole ebb and flow, you know, the cat and mouse game associated with baseball, where, you know, it's not the man in white in the stands. It's maybe some spider tack helping with some spin rate. And even when you talk about it from the perspective of this performance enhancement, right? Like, you know how fine of a line it is from a guy being sent down to AAA or, you know, having to go to Japan and their career ending. Like, if it's a matter of applying a bit of sunscreen or rosin and getting that a bit of an advantage to maintain your control, yeah, I think guys are going to do that. On the same side, the hitters are going to look for every advantage they can to know what's coming and to be able to, you know, hit a couple extra home runs a year. So it's always going to go back and forth. And I think the common theme with all of it is, I think the players just want standardization, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they just want there to be a level playing field and be like, okay, this is what you're allowed to do, this is what you're not. Whereas I think Major League Baseball kind of on steroids or on this, they stick their head in the sand and they pretend it's not happening until it becomes these major exposés and people are really getting upset over things.
And then they have to overcorrect inevitably. Exactly. So instead of saying, just like with stuff that guys may jam into their ass or take, you know, that's in a jar sitting in their locker, there'll be a banned substances list. And if it's spider tack or something else, that there's got to be a line. And if that's a line that's drawn through science, kind of like the coefficient of restitution sort of stuff that you hear about in golf balls or the old, you know, I mean, I think about, like, well, remember the thing with the maple bats that just were breaking all the time and the ball, and then they just stopped and then it just stopped and then the bat stopped breaking. And so hopefully this sort of thing happens again. Now let's change gears a little bit. Thank you for indulging me on the sticky stuff talk. This is not, you're so far unmenaced. I feel unmenaced so far, so this is good.
And last time it was all, was it? I think it might have been Cam. It's his beautiful radio voice. That was the only thing that made me a menace. I was just commenting on the producer's beautiful dulcet tones and how he just sounded like a voice of an angel descending on the podcast.
See, he and I were talking about that actually before, because he almost, my speakers were all turned up for a variety of reasons, and now here we are. And he does have a beautiful voice, and I do not feel emasculated or put out at all by it. I'm comfortable that Cam has a better voice. One day he'll be in this seat where he belongs. Speaking of the seat that he belongs in, Nate Pearson is currently in AAA. And sticky stuff or otherwise, this is a guy who had a real hard time throwing strikes this year and a lot of the time in the big leagues. Now, I know that you've worked with him, but what's your assessment of kind of where he is and maybe why? I guess really, what do you think, or what from the outside is kind of maybe the thing that might be holding him back at this stage?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about it a little bit before we started recording, is that I think some of these guys have their strengths and they tend to get away from them because analytics dictates one thing over another, like, you know, throw more sliders as opposed to fastballs. And they sometimes kind of forget their identity a little bit. You know, somebody like Nate who throws, you know, up to 104, that's a strength. You know, that's that's a feature, not a bug, going to the programming world here. But somebody like Nate, you know, somebody who has such great stuff and such, you know, such a big body, such a big guy, you know, really the physical makeup you want to see out of a starter. I think the line is so thin between what makes him such a super, super success and what got him in AAA that I think one day it's just going to click and all of a sudden Nate's back and looking great there. You know, we all love Doc and what he did with the Blue Jays time, but you know, when he was 24, he had to go down to the minors and get himself right too. Right. So, I have full faith that Nate will be back, because that stuff is so fun. And, you know, maybe it's a bit of a different role when he first comes back and he goes in the bullpen, gets the confidence back, and then heads back to his starter role. But you think about him last year in the wild card series against the Rays, like, if that's the guy, holy cow, the Jays have something really, really exciting on their hands.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, no one would ever question the stuff. No one would ever wonder aloud about whether or not he has his stuff can play in the big leagues. The thing I've always found, anecdotally, he's only made a handful of appearances in the big leagues, but it just sometimes it seems like he will fall behind and then he starts to aim it. And then sometimes there were like these, you know, again, the guy that can really hump it up there, but then the velocity will drop off because it's like he's just begging for a strike, which again, it's hard. Pitching in the big leagues is hard. And there's no margin for error. And maybe some of the stuff that some have said, and even with Alek Manoah as well, where you can get away with kind of misplaced breaking balls when your stuff is so good. But I wonder how much of it is there an element of like mechanics? Is that something that, especially coming off of a longish injury delay, where I wonder what that process might be like to try to like check your mechanics, get them right, and be able to assess in real time, like what am I doing? Am I kind of flying open, or you know, all the kind of pitcherisms that we hear on the broadcast? But it must be so hard to kind of track those and correct them in real time.
Yeah, I think what you can sometimes see with like Nate is, you know, he lost a lot of weight before last season, got really lean. You know, then when your body changes that dramatically, you know, for some of us, it's the opposite direction because it's been quarantine and a really long year. But, you know, somebody like that, now all of a sudden he's piloting a different ship, right? And he had to get comfortable to it. And then he kind of went back to where he was in that. So I think there's been some up and down, and there's some thoughts of, you know, I can't give up a home run here because that's going to send me back down. And, you know, the reality is Major League Baseball pitching is extremely hard. And Aroldis Chapman gave up a grand slam to Rajay Davis in the World Series, right? So anybody can take you yard at any time. You got to just, you know, play with what's right. And I think somebody like Nate and even Alek Manoah, you know, and a lot of these young power arms that we're going to start seeing with the Blue Jays coming up, whether it's, you know, Woods Richardson or Van Eyck, any of these young guys, they all have such overpowering stuff. They've just got to believe in the stuff, let it fly, and not try and overthink it. Just, you know, dance with who you brought, I guess, in a way.
For sure. I mean, I think Robbie Ray and the evolution of Robbie Ray is a great example that you can still get, you're going to get touched, right? In the big leagues, the way that the game is, people are going to touch you. But if you've walked two ahead of that, that's the kind of thing where you can get into trouble. And that ability to come right at guys and that ability to sort of like do what needs to be done and just throw strikes. And, you know, we've talked about Alek Manoah, and I think this is a good opportunity to sort of segue into his place right now, which is that I was so impressed with his outing that was bad, right? And because I really felt like he, other than a couple slightly bizarre pitch choices, he was really grinding it out, and he was making do with what he had. And his changeup got hit, and then he went away with it from it. He didn't want to bother with it anymore because he couldn't locate it, and they were smashing it. And I think that it's a really important and a difficult evolution for all pitchers to make, to go from maximizing their stuff to then believing in it, right? And it's so hard when there's a big leaguer, when you're standing there and Jesus Aguiar, who's like enormous, like fills the entire batter's box, and you're staring down at him, that's different than when you're throwing in front of a gun or a Hawkeye system with 16 cameras.
Exactly. Or you know, you're throwing in a game that doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the minor leagues are for development. That is what they're there for. They're there for development. When you get to the majors and wins and losses truly, truly count, and giving up runs, you know, is a bad thing. It's not just a thing that happened that you're like, oh, you know, at least the pitch was good or my stuff was good. I executed what I was trying to do. You know, it changes the mentality. And I truly do believe there's a lot of sports psychology that separates the best from the mediocre guys at the major league level. And that's maybe what's really exciting about the Blue Jays and their high performance department, is they're led by a sports psychologist. And you see guys like Robbie Ray all of a sudden turn the command around with Pete Walker. So there's some cool things that could happen. And, you know, to see guys that have command issues and such elite stuff, to see what the Jays have done with Robbie Ray, you know, that, as a Blue Jays fan, I think is pretty exciting. You know, that's the guy that can fix this if there's anyone.
And it's why guys like that will always get chances, and why you never want to give up on someone who can do those things. And I think we talked about Aaron Sanchez earlier, and he's a great example of a guy who had some great seasons in the big leagues, but also for the longest time got by on or was given chances and continued to get run out there because of that potential that one day someone's going to unlock him and someone's going to figure out what it is that's going to help him to throw strikes. And then you can suddenly, you've got this, like the fact that Robbie Ray doesn't walk anyone blows my mind. Like
it's got to be one of the craziest stories in baseball right now. And it's like not getting that much publicity outside of, you know, Toronto, but like, that's what Robbie Ray did. You know, Robbie Ray threw hard, was filthy, and walked a ton of guys. And he just doesn't do it anymore. It's absolutely nuts.
I guess I'll ask you, we talked to touch on a little bit. What do you think about Alek Manoah, in terms of his makeup, and B, what he can do on the mound? Again, another guy who's just enormous and big, but also has great, great stuff. I can only assume you've liked what you've seen from him so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the stuff and his command, but I've loved the way he commands things, in his first start, and then even the second one, you know, he got hit for a couple home runs, but that's just modern baseball. Guys get hit, guys hit home runs now, even when they're the number eight hitter on the Marlins, right? Like that's just what happens now. Both him and Nate have very similar mechanics when you start breaking things down. They both stride really long. They're both really mobile guys where they get a ton of range of motion in their shoulders. So those are really good things that we see that are big markers for velocity. But you talk about extension, right? Like, you know, releasing the ball further down the mound, that comes with a long stride and it comes with being 6'6". So those guys, you know, throwing 98, that looks a lot different than, you know, Tim Lincecum throwing 98. Like that ball is getting on top of you fast and that perceived velocity is really high. And that gives those guys a margin of error, you know, Manoah and Pearson. It's going to be great to see the two of them when they're both firing on all cylinders. Like that's not a comfortable at bat for anyone. And both of them, you know, with Manoah, maybe more his pedigree through college, like he's used to pitching against mature hitters. I think he's got some really exciting potential in the next little bit.
And the same thing with Collins is pitching in games that matter, right? West Virginia didn't bring him there just because he's a nice guy. I mean, he is, but that program exists to win games, right? And that pressure, you know, if you follow Keith Law, of course, of The Athletic, he's really vocal about the abuse, the amount of pitches that college pitchers are throwing, the length of their outings, and then coming back in relief, you know, a couple days later. But you know, that obviously is a negative, but the value in going out there and being like, what am I going to do to win tonight on top of being good is, I think it's, there's value in that. While there's also, when there's also that projection, right? It's like that kind of magic combination of like, he's as good as he's going to be and he's a good college pitcher and that's awesome. But this guy is a good college pitcher, but there's also so much more waiting kind of to be unlocked inside of him.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. No. And I think that's an exciting approach because that's Van Eyck as well, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's a Florida State guy. So, their pitching, I think for a few years, it seemed like it was pretty barren. The pitching prospects coming up for the Jays are pretty exciting right now.
You could do worse.
you could do a lot worse.
More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors. You can do worse. You could, when you don't have any exciting pitching prospects, you can look like the Blue Jays bullpen at this current moment in time.
Well, we're seeing a big example of why it's important to get some length out of your starters and how bullpen days are only so good. In that case, you know, we've looked a little bit at the fatigue units and the workloads for those guys, and there was a lot of back-to-back appearances. There was a ton of innings being thrown. There's a ton of multi-inning things in the first part of the season. And yeah, those guys, we're seeing what happens when they get a huge workload spike in that first part of the season, which is known to be the time of year where people have the most injuries. So it's a bit of a perfect storm for why we're seeing so many IL appearances for that pen.
It was the thing that was being talked about a lot in the offseason, and now here we are. Blue Jays fans are experiencing, but I think it's important for Blue Jays fans to remember that they're not alone. While they have a lot of injuries, everyone has suffered from a lot of injuries.
Yeah, baseball that year, last year, going into this year, it's a very interesting year, and not in a good way for the injuries. For the product on the field, when those guys are healthy, fantastic. But yeah, there's been a ton of injuries.
I'm going to ask you one more question, and it's kind of related to this topic, which is, so the Blue Jays have a good track record, I think. I think that right now is not the best time to maybe think about it in those ways, but they do have a good track record of finding pitchers, turning kind of marginal guys, non-roster invitees, into functional big league pitchers. We saw, say, like Anthony Bass last year, AJ Cole, those are kind of lower level guys, but even Jordan Romano, I think, is a great success. This was a guy that was gone to Texas was he was Rule 5 and returned, right?
Something like that.
But for him to come back into the fold and then, you know, a lot on his own, and I'm sure the team they work together to develop that. But I think the Rays are the team that people love to use an example, and they're a team that loves extension for an example. They love to that's something that they really flag. Is there something that they're doing that maybe other people haven't picked up on, or is it good luck and good scouting and good development, or which one of those kind of that triangle do you think is the biggest piece?
I think there's some good scouting and good coaching. Mm-hmm. I think we do have to give some credit to, you know, the bullpen coaches and the pitching coaches with the Jays. Like, I think they are, mm-hmm. I think the analytics team brings, maybe 1.5 elite skills to the table that they've identified, whether that's extension or it's velocity or it's spin rate or it's, you know, slider command or something like that. They bring like 1.5 good skills to the table, and they find a way to maximize that skill. And I think I don't think it's that much more complicated than that. And then they bring in the, you know, elite skill of just boring the other team near death with the lease, which has paid off. And they're just going, please end this. I want this to be over. I think that's what they do. I think they've got some great coaches that listen to the analytics staff. They've got an analytics staff that listens to the coaches. They work well together, and they get the most out of what they've got. One thing I find with, and this might be anecdotal, it just seems like there's a lot more catastrophic injuries with the Rays guys. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more UCL blowouts and a lot more, shoulders gone and the guy's gone for 2 seasons. Blue Jays have seen some injuries, but they don't seem to be as catastrophic in nature. Like, we got Romano's back now, mm-hmm. and a few of the other guys, Merriweather, who knows, but, it seems like it's a little bit more the injuries associated with playing big league baseball. And maybe that won't be the case, but it does seem like maybe the injuries aren't quite as devastating as they could be.
My thing with the Rays is I like to see guys who are good when they leave, make a trade a guy away and have him continue to be good. And then I have a less suspicion of the Rays. I think Ryan Stanek is a good example. Is the one that first came to mind of a guy who was good for the Rays, using that really peculiar way. They traded him away, improved their team, but now he is obviously a very good pitcher and pitched well for Houston out of their bullpen now.
Yeah. I do think the Rays have made a pact with the darkest circle of hell to somehow become so good with what they've got there. So, that that sort of bargaining with the devil has really made the bullpen exceptional in Tampa.
You do what you got to do on a budget, and rather than pay someone what they're worth, maybe you can pay the devil with your eternal soul. So,
exactly.
It's the new market inefficiency.
What's a couple of intern souls? Yeah, intern souls, the new market inefficiency.
Jeff Sullivan, a former colleague of mine, never had a soul to begin with. Nobody has to worry about that. Mike, thank you so much. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you, and if they're interested in learning more about ProPlay AI and some of the ability to do this cool stuff right in your phone, where can they find that?
Yeah, my Twitter is Dr. Mike Son, and you can find out more about ProPlay and Pitch AI at ProPlayAI.com.
Amazing. Sir, again, thank you. You should leave True Menace in your bio, even though I don't think it's true anymore. I was on the fence, but this was great.
Absolute pleasure. Great talking to you again, Drew, and hopefully you get to see each other at a game or a concert sometime this year. That'd be awesome.
here is hoping. Also, shout out to Classic Grit. Mike is wearing a Classic Grit t-shirt, as I've been known to wear as well. If you're into baseball and lifestyle brands, hook up our guys at Classic Grit. Dr. Mike Son, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Drew.